Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Bama Beat Podcast. This is your host, Clint Lamb, and folks, I am riding solo today. Nick Kelly, my new co-host of the show, the new beat writer for the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com covering Alabama, he's off for the rest of this week, so I thought I'd just hop on here, answer a few questions that I got from you guys, and that way to kind of keep engagement up. I know that we've kind of been lax a little bit as far as the number of podcasts that we've been putting out, and that's probably going to continue a little bit as we work our way through the off season. But you know, as we get closer and closer to SEC media days and fall camp, we're going to get back to, you know, having a regular schedule, but we're certainly going to be doing position breakdowns for Alabama. Starting next week, Nick's going to be back. We're going to be starting, I think, with the outside linebackers. Then we're going to be shifting to the offensive side of the football and just going back and forth and giving you guys kind of a breakdown on what to expect this upcoming season from a positional standpoint. But for today, I just thought, like I said, I'd hop on here, answer a few of y'all's questions, just to kind of see what's on your mind. And if we have any left over, which I think that we do, at least a few left over already, and if people continue to answer and send stuff in, I'll kind of at least try to make it, a weekly thing, if not on a per episode basis, where we answer questions that you guys have. Take at least a couple of minutes, and that way, anything that you need to ask us or want to ask us, you have access and you can get an answer to that question. And you can certainly get, just ask me for, through DMs on Twitter or something. That's totally fine too. But I want to make myself available for you guys as much as possible moving forward. But we're just going to dive right in. Like I said, just a few questions. I think we got maybe five today, and pretty good questions, I thought. So the first one's from Parker Chapman on Instagram, and he asked, how many running backs do you see fitting into the rotation? Tough to imagine more than three. That was Parker's comment, and it's a good question, Parker, and something that I've kind of asked myself quite a bit. You don't have the Najee Harris caliber talent at the top of the depth chart this year. You know, last year, even with him returning, I thought that the amount of depth that they had in their backfield with Trey Sanders coming back from the injury and the potential that he showed before he got injured, with Brian Robinson and his experience, you had the two, technically three, talented true freshmen coming in, and Jace McClellan and Roydell Williams. Thought both of those guys could end up seeing at least a little bit of action. So as much as I wanted to envision a workhorse type of role for Najee Harris, I just didn't see it. And of course, that's what ended up happening. So goes to show you how much I really know, but I actually think that we are going to get a lot more of a committee approach, because I don't think Brian Robinson is the same caliber of talent from the standpoint of, okay, I mean, as much as you want to get some of these younger guys carries or the talented first or second year players, you can't afford to take Najee Harris off the field. And Brian Robinson's a very good running back, don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's that same caliber of guy where you're not going to be willing to cede any carries to, some of the other guys that they have on the roster. Because even though that they've lost three different guys from last year's group, well, I guess, technically two, because Keelan Robinson, opted out of last season, so they didn't even get to have him on the roster. But Keelan Robinson, he's off to Texas, entered the transfer portal, is now going to be playing for Steve Sarkisian once again. Great for him. Think he'll find a role as a rotational running back. Don't think he's going to start or anything, but I like that move for him, and I wish him nothing but the best. But Najee Harris, of course, is off to the NFL. That's the big one. He was, finished fifth in the Heisman race, Doak Walker Award winner, outstanding running back, do it all, pass protection, running, catching the football out of the backfield, making guys miss, leadership role as far as the locker room. He is going to be missed in that Alabama backfield. But I do think they have the talent to still field one of the better run games or running back groups in the country. And then, of course, the third is Kyle Edwards, a three-star prospect coming out of high school, was at Alabama, of course, for one season. You guys already know this, but he's currently in the transfer portal. There's no guarantee that he's you know, definitely gone, at least until he commits. But folks, I think he's probably gone. But that still leaves Brian Robinson Jr. with his experience. You got Trey Sanders, who's now heading into his junior season or redshirt sophomore season. I mean, I guess it just depends. Third year on campus is the better way to put that. Jace McClellan, he's going to be going into his second year. Roydell Williams going into his second year. And you still got Kamar Wheaton there, or you're going to be adding Kamar Wheaton into that group as well, a five-star talent. The number, I think, three running back or two running back, I don't really remember, but one of the top running backs in the country. Very different kind of style than some of the other guys that Alabama currently has on the roster, but you know, he could end up finding himself some carries at some point this season, much in the same way that some of the other former five-star running backs, you know, like a Derrick Henry, you know, or other guys have been able to kind of earn over the course of their first season on campus. But the problem is I feel like Alabama's pretty loaded at that spot, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, you know, outside of, you know, injury. And so now it's determining, okay, how does the, you know, carry distribution or snap distribution work itself out as far as when you got that many talented guys? And for me, I think Brian Robinson's going to be the starter. He's going to be the guy that goes out there with the first team offense to take the first snap of the game. But from there, you know, it depends on what's going on with Trey Sanders and, you know, trying to come back from yet another injury that was not his fault. But, you know, it's just he's been dealing with a lot. And so he's kind of the question mark, because if he's healthy and he's continuing to grow and develop, he's still got a ton of talent. And I just don't know where he's at with a lot of that stuff. So it's hard for me to make it the proper judgment call. But I do know that Jace McClellan has looked really good in the spring. And you know, from things that we've heard from the coaching staff, Roydell Williams has looked really good as well. So I think that it's possible that you could end up seeing both of those two guys. And Trey Sanders, as unfortunate as it is, he could find himself being the odd man out and kind of working in that role where he's not getting a ton of touches, because I really think that there's going to be a role for Brian Robinson. There's going to be some Jace McClellan. There's going to be some Roydell Williams. And so where does Trey Sanders fit into that? And so I think that Parker is absolutely correct. You know, it is extremely tough to see more than three guys really getting any sort of significant carries. You know, last year it was, you know, Najee Harris getting over 250 carries. The next closest was Brian Robinson at, you know, under 100. You know, he's like low 90s, if I'm not mistaken. And then from there it was, you know, 20, 25-ish for a couple of other guys. I don't really see, you know, that kind of discrepancy between the starter and the number two and number three guys. So I think you'll see a much more committee approach this year. But I think it's probably, as far as guys who are getting consistent touches, I think Parker's correct. I think it's going to probably max out there at, you know, about three. Man, I really can't take that long to answer these questions. My apologies. Next question, and it's a long question. As long-winded as that last response was, this question might be just as long, but it's worth it. So Will Martin on Twitter asked, with the conference-only schedule, there aren't as many blowout games where teams can get younger guys in-game reps, except for the elite teams such as Alabama, Clemson, etc., who have still blown out conference foes and been able to play younger guys into the fourth quarter in about half the games. So how does this translate going into next year, into the next year or two? Is this a situation where the rich get richer and widens the gap between the elite and the good teams in college football? You know, the good part about it, Will, is that I don't foresee this being as much of an issue. You know, I understand that the 12-team college football playoff expansion is likely coming, but for now, we're going back to the way things were. The scheduling and the way that it was. And so you'll get back to a lot of that. Now, once that 12-team playoff expansion happens, if it happens, then I don't know what the next step will be. From everything I've heard or know about the situation, I don't think there's any plans to change or shorten the season or to go to a conference-only schedule. In fact, there could be a situation where, you know, absolutely nothing changes. And if that ends up being the case, then you don't really have to worry about it. But you know, for now, everything's fine. There's nothing to worry about as far as that's concerned. You know, if that were to continue to be the case, then the way that Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney and the way that they get their younger guys reps, you might see them handle it a little bit differently. Because even last year, you know, playing that conference-only schedule, Alabama blew out several opponents. They got guys reps, but just the approach was different, and he made mention of that multiple times. When he was putting Bryce Young out there, it wasn't with the same kind of mentality that he had with Tua Tagovailoa a couple of years prior, where, you know, when you were putting him in the game, you were planning to operate the offense, you know, as normal. They were trying to take every opportunity as far as, you know, those blowout games and those reps for younger guys. It was a tinkering process, right? It wasn't as much about, you know, running the offense as normally as you would. It was just seeing where certain guys were. You know, playing Evan Neal, kicking him over to left tackle when he's been playing right tackle, inserting certain guys into the lineup and just trying to see, okay, if we have an injury at X spot, who's going to be the next guy to step up? So, we'll have to see how the whole thing plays out. But from everything that I know, you're going to still get those games, you know, definitely this year, but moving forward, you know, in 2022, 2023, I don't foresee that being too much of an issue. But it was a good question. I understand where you're coming from. And if that were to become a thing later on, yeah, I mean, it could. If the approach was a little bit different from some of these top head coaches and they were getting guys valuable reps at the end of football games because they were blowing teams out, then certainly that would create at least somewhat of an advantage. But I just don't know how significant it would be because, you know, you can't – it would depend on how many teams Alabama was blowing out. It would depend on, you know, who they had coming up. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that as far as the way that it's handled. Next question, Tom on Twitter. He asked me to explain my running back rankings and why Brian Robinson Jr. was left off the list. Well, let me pull it up, Tom, because definitely don't want to miss it here. And it's a completely reasonable question. I get it. I think that sometimes we get too wrapped up in, you know, Alabama should have the best at everything. And Alabama has some very good running backs. We just went over that in a previous question. But I don't think that Brian Robinson Jr. is that elite top-tier talent that some of the other running backs in the conference are. Is he a good running back? Absolutely. Can he be a great running back this year? Absolutely. But do I really see him being in the same, you know, tier as a Tank Bigsby, who is my top-rated running back returning in the SEC on the article that I wrote for Outkick.com? Second was Isaiah Spiller with Texas A&M. Third was Kevin Harris with South Carolina. Fourth was Chris Rodriguez out of Kentucky, extremely underrated running back. And then fifth was Zamir White from Georgia. And then my honorable mention had Jerrion Ealy and, of course, Brian Robinson Jr. So I at least made mention of him because I do think he's talented. I think he's going to be productive. I think he's going to be efficient in the carries that he is given. But I just think that those other five guys are quite frankly better right now. And that's no offense to you know, Brian Robinson Jr. I hope he doesn't take it that way if he reads the list or his, you know, this podcast. This is not me taking a shot. Sometimes just you have to be upfront and honest. And, you know, Tank Bigsby, I think, has a chance to be one of the best running backs in the country, if not the best running back in the country. I know that's tough to hear for some Alabama fans, but that's just where we're at. That's where Auburn's at. It's one of the few things they can hang their hat on right now, so let them have it. Tank Bigsby is an absolute load. I don't think anybody's going to deny that. And I like what he's going to be able to do now that Mike Bobo, who's coming over from South Carolina, Kevin Harris, and all the action that he saw for South Carolina, you know, as far as them building the offense around him, that was under Mike Bobo. So I think that he's going to do something similar with Tank Bigsby, and I think that's going to lead to a lot of success. And then you got Brian Harsin there as your head coach. We know what he's about as far as being physical during his time at Boise State and what he wants to do running the football, even to a point of being stubborn a little bit sometimes. He wants to be able to establish the run. He wants to be able to have a workhorse running back. And he's certainly gotten one there in Auburn as long as Tank Bigsby can stay healthy, which is a question mark. Spiller is just one of those guys, extremely productive, you know, close to 2,400 yards the last couple of years, you know, close to 20 touchdowns on top of that. Great runner, great receiver. You know, I really think that Texas A&M has one of the better running back groups in the country right now. You know, and that's definitely, you know, Isaiah Spiller is a major part of that, the biggest part of that. As talented as some of those other guys are. And, I mean, you know, with Kellen Mond now going to the NFL, They're going to be breaking in a new quarterback. I don't know if that's going to be Haynes King. I don't know if that's going to be, you know, Zach Calzada. It could be either one of those two guys, but regardless, they're going to need to rely a lot on Isaiah Spiller this year, and so he's going to continue to be productive as long as he stays healthy. He's been productive. He's talented. He's versatile. I like what he provides Texas A&M. He was an easy pick for number two on the list. Kevin Harris, you know, a lot of usage last year. Kind of came out of nowhere. A lot of people were curious, including myself, were curious to see Marshawn Lloyd, a top five running back coming out of high school who committed and enrolled at South Carolina. I was very excited to see him. Unfortunately, we didn't get to because of a season-ending injury. And then Kevin Harris comes out of nowhere, proves that he's capable of being a workhorse running back in the SEC. And now they got Lloyd coming back from that injury this year. And Shane Beamer in year one has a nice little 1-2 punch at running back. But I really like Kevin Harris as well. You know, when you talk about leading the SEC in rushing yards, that was Najee Harris. But we also got to understand Alabama played more games, in some cases a lot more games than some of these other teams, including South Carolina. So when you look at it from a rushing yards per game perspective, that title goes to Kevin Harris. He actually was averaging 113.8 yards per game. Najee Harris was there at 112.8. So, I mean, very, very similar, very close, only 1 yard difference between those two. But, you know, Harris is a very talented running back. Got to put him up there. Like I said, Chris Rodriguez out of Kentucky, he was there at fourth. Very talented guy. Doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Number six in rushing yards last season, despite playing in way less games than a lot of these other guys. And when you talk about, you know, Rose, who was their starting running back technically, Terry Wilson, a dual threat quarterback who was taking up a significant portion of the rushing attempts and rushing yards and things like that. The fact that Chris Rodriguez was as productive as he was, I think speaks volumes to his talent. And is he like going to be a top-tier NFL guy or a top-tier NFL talent? No, I'm not necessarily saying that, but I just think he's extremely underrated on the college level, and he can be a pretty darn good running back on the next level as well. So give him credit for that. And then Zamir White, five-star guy, super talented. We saw what he was able to do last year a little bit. He's got the size. He's explosive. He's in a pretty deep, you know, running back room there as well with James Cook and Kenny McIntosh and who's the other one? Kendall Milton. Just with all those guys there in that Georgia backfield, Zamir White, I think, could be a lot more productive if he didn't have to cede carries to some of these other guys. But now that he's getting further and further away from those that couple of year stretch where he was dealing with multiple season-ending injuries, I think he's only going to continue to get more confident in his ability to stay healthy. And, you know, he's an extremely hardworking guy. So he checked in there at number five. I hope that answered your question. Essentially just went over all the guys that are on my list. It's nothing against Brian Robinson, just Alabama, you know, has a nice stable of running backs. But compared to a lot of these other SEC teams, at least right now, I don't think they have the best running back in the SEC, or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth. So that's kind of where that's at. Moving on to the next question. Clay Smith on Instagram. Who's a potential breakout player that the rest of us in the SEC should get to know? Now, this is one that I'm going to save. It was next on the list, but I'm going to go ahead and pass it up because I want to talk about this, you know, with Nick a little bit, because I think it's going to take a little while. We're kind of running through time. But Clay, I wanted to acknowledge that. Read your question. I appreciate the question, and it was a fantastic question. And I just want to be able to give it the attention that it deserves. So I'm going to hit pause on that. We're going to move on to the last question to get through this podcast. And I'll get to that next week with Nick, probably in the same episode that we're breaking down the outside linebacker. So that's going to be fun talking about that. All right, last question. John on Twitter asked, what game are you most looking forward to watching this season now that stadiums are back at full capacity? Well, first of all, John, I'm thrilled that we're back to full capacity. You know, don't get me wrong. I had the opportunity to cover some games last year, chose not to. You know, in my profession, it's very rare that you get a chance to enjoy a college football season from home with your friends and family. And so just with what was going on with COVID and you know, the restrictions that were going to be in place with the mask and everything else, I just thought it was better for me to stay at home last season and watch the game from afar. I enjoyed the time off, don't get me wrong, but I cannot wait to get back into Bryant-Denny Stadium and some of these other stadiums around the country. But to answer your question, you know, people are probably going to say, you know, maybe Miami, because it's going to be that first one. It's at a neutral site. It's probably going to be a top 25 matchup. That's certainly exciting. Going on the road to, you know, the Swamp against the Florida Gators, or, you know, going on the road to College Station to take on Texas A&M. You know, all that's fun and good, great, and wonderful. But for me, as odd as it may seem, I'm looking the most forward to playing Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss in Tuscaloosa this year. The shootout that we saw last year, I think that we're only going to continue to see those sort of matchups between Nick Saban and his coaching staff and Lane Kiffin and his coaching staff over there in Oxford. And I just want to see it. You know, Matt Corral's coming back. He lost two of his biggest offensive weapons in Elijah Moore and Kenny Yeboah. They still have some options there, including Jerrion Ealy there at running back, who can do some different things for you, but they got some other athletes there as well that I'm looking forward to watching. And so it's a pretty easy choice. I'm going with Ole Miss. I'm very confident in that choice. And guys, don't give me – I think it's possible that maybe, you know, Alabama just are going to have a much better defense, but this is probably going to continue to drive home this point that I've been trying to make for a while now, which is there's no such thing as the elite college defenses anymore, at least not in the way that we used to know elite college defenses. And so while I think Alabama's going to field one of the best defenses in the country, and they're going to be super efficient and effective in the areas that they need to be effective to help Alabama win football games, I don't think it's going to be this dominant defense. And that's not anything against Bama. Even the Georgias of the world, you know, you watch Georgia, who, you know, was touted as having, you know, one of the best defenses in the country the last few years. They step on the field against the elite offenses, the Alabamas, the LSUs, and the SEC championship. Just when you see an elite defense step on the field with an elite offense, in most cases, that elite offense is going to prevail. And so, you know, for me, it's a lot more Alabama last year, as poor as the defense was, they were able to do enough in Oxford to get that win over Ole Miss, because they were able to create the couple of not turnovers, but stops that they needed to allow the offense to create some separations. You know, forcing Lane Kiffin to kick a field goal late in the game allowed Alabama to create that separation. That's what ultimately made the difference. And I think that Alabama beats Ole Miss by a little bit more this year, because I think that they have a defense that's going to be able to get those stops more frequently. Even though the offense might take a slight step back, by the time that Ole Miss rolls around in week five, you know, they should have some things that they need to get figured out on offense. And so I think that's going to be so much fun to watch. I can't wait to see it. Yes, I'm looking forward to the Miami game in week one, just being back. Yes, I'm looking forward to the Mercer game in week two, just because it's going to be the first game back in Bryant-Denny Stadium with full capacity. But for me, it's all about Ole Miss as far as the game that I have circled on the schedule. And I'd love to hear some of y'all's responses. So if you listen to this podcast and you have a differing opinion, or you share the same opinion, let me know. And that includes on any of these questions that I've answered. But I hope you guys, you know, I hope it's been informative. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And I hope you guys are ready to kind of get things underway early next week. Well, probably about the middle of next week, based off of when Nick's supposed to be back. But position group breakdown, starting with the outside linebackers. Can't wait to have that discussion with him and with you guys. And thank you guys so much for listening to the Bama Beat Podcast.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.